There are many stories from the Bible that we teach to our children that most of us have grown up knowing. The story of Zacchaeus, that wee little man. The story of Noah and the ark. The story of Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers. But we must be careful as adults not to relegate these stories to a lower level of priority. They have been given for our instruction. They're not just children's stories. I want to examine one of those stories that we're all familiar with for our lesson today, because I think there's many things in it we'll benefit from. So if you will, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter 6, where we read about God giving the city of Jericho to the Israelites. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 says that when Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel, no one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." Then he said to the people, "Go forward and march around the city. Let the armed men go on before the ark of the Lord." And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets. The ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus, the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Then on the 7th day they rose early in the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they marched around the city 7 times. At the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who were with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Jericho was a doomed city. You can see that in verse 17. The city shall be under the ban. In the King James, that word is translated accursed. Joshua was simply reminding the people on this occasion of what God had already told them many years ago. In Deuteronomy chapter 20 and in verse 16, Moses says, "Only in the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you shall not leave alive anything that breathes, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable things which they have done for their gods, so that you would sin against the Lord your God." The word meaning accursed in Joshua 6:17, or banned, is the same Hebrew word that's often translated devoted. The word means a shutting in, as in drawing a net, and is generally used in a figurative sense denoting a destruction. So God had told Israel some 40 years earlier that the cities were accursed and doomed to fall by the hand of God. Joshua 6 and verse 2, the Lord did not say, notice, "I will give the city of Jericho to you." He said, "I have given Jericho into your hand." This was a done deal. The reason for this condemnation was already read in Deuteronomy 20 and verse 18. "That they may not teach you to do according to their detestable things." God didn't want the Israelites to learn sin from these people. The downfall of Jericho is truly a fight between righteousness and idolatry. The city inhabitants were very idolatrous. They were unwilling to seek God. Only Rahab believed in God. And yet it must be that all who had heard in the city of the things that Jehovah had done in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, if Rahab knew it, certainly others did as well. What the people of the city failed to realize was that they were fighting against God. They put their trust in the wrong things, their fortifications, the strength of their position, their stored goods, the water supply that was stable. They were ready for a siege, but they weren't ready for God. So it is with men who put their trust in the wrong things: fame, wealth, power, intelligence, friends, being part of a sound congregation. None of those things will prepare us to be right in God's sight. He will judge us individually. And we might be ready to face the world, but are we ready to face God? We're privileged to know this information prior to the conflict, and we understand this point easily in hindsight. How much more ought we to be looking to our own life to determine if we are fighting against God? The city of Jericho was tightly shut. No one went in and no one went out. The combination of the passive and active forms of the verbs in this place seem to indicate the natural strength of the fortifications was matched with the resolve of the people to resist what was God's will. They were resolute in their belief and their corrupt affections and evil habits, shut up to the power that might bring them to a better life if they would listen to God, even under the law of Moses. Jericho would have been a politically, economically, socially active and important city in the Canaanite culture. Certainly, it would have been a city in which idolatry was strongly promoted. I don't think God just picked out a random city to destroy as an example. Jericho was chosen much in the same way that Jonah was sent to Nineveh, a specific place that God had a purpose for, because Nineveh was wicked and Jericho was wicked. How many in the world today are doomed to destruction? Many today live under the curse of God. And I mean this in the same sense as the Hebrew word in the text, meaning they're doomed for destruction. When we choose to serve sin, we are doomed for destruction. God has promised the faithful a home in heaven, and the unfaithful and unrepentant sinner has been promised an eternity in hell. That's the fate that awaits. God's willing to save, but only as long as we're willing to obey Him. How many who believe themselves to be in fellowship with God are, in fact, doomed for destruction? Some who appear to be righteous members of the Lord's church will not inherit heaven. There's sin in their life. I think the point is simple, that we cannot tightly shut up our heart to the Lord. We can't withdraw into our own confidences that we are right. We have to throw open the gates of our heart and remove the evil from us and accept God and His commands. Only then we're going to be saved from the deserved destruction of the Lord. Jericho did not understand. It was a doomed city. God gave a difficult task to His people. Take the city of Jericho. Certainly the strongest warrior in Israel would have agreed the task was difficult. Joshua was the leader of the nation. Under Moses, he was the leader of the army. He was skilled and he knew exactly what God was asking of them. They had no siege equipment with which to assault the walls. They had no warriors trained in the methods of war. They were all ex-slaves. They couldn't just leave the city and move on to the next one. It would leave their position exposed as they invaded the country, and it would disobey God. To take the city seemed almost impossible without God. This was just a more recent trial of the faith of the nation of Israel. They had to cross the Red Sea, you'll recall. They had entered and passed through a land that had no food or water to sustain this nation of people. They were told of the terrors awaiting them in the Promised Land by the unfaithful spies. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, watching all their loved ones die. Now, take Jericho. We sometimes feel the tasks given to us are difficult. God's going to be there to help us as His children. Abraham was charged to leave his home and go to a place where God was going to show him. He didn't know where he was going. Moses was to liberate God's people, but Jehovah was with him in that process. David attained the throne over King Saul. Esther saved her people. The apostles healed the sick and they cast out demons. The apostles' commission was to teach all nations, which was accomplished in their lifetime. I want us to understand a simple truth. that difficulty doesn't change duty. That makes us want to squirm a little bit, doesn't it? That's not easy. Jesus told the apostles to feed the 5,000. Give them something to eat. How are we going to do that? God did it through Christ. Miraculously. They couldn't accomplish that instruction without God's help. We as Christians are given instructions in the New Testament. Enter through the straight gate. Keep the narrow way. Overcome evil with good. Be steadfast until death. How am I going to do that? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's how we do it. It's the only way we can do it. Instead of being dismayed at the difficulty, we should rejoice that God is with us to help us. We have to become those who believe what is said in Matthew 19 and verse 26. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Even my obedience. We can't shrink back from the Jericho that is put before us. We have to be faithful and obedient to His word and then leave the rest to God. It's all in His hands. Obedience is not always easy, but it is always expected by God. Abraham had to offer his son as a sacrifice. Difficult, but he trusted in God. Joseph was to take Mary as his wife and not put her away, though she was pregnant, an unwed mother-to-be. God told him what to do, and he obeyed. Look at what God told Joshua to do. Most of it appears somewhat easy, we think, but I would argue not so. In verse 10, he commands the people, "You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of the mouth until the day I tell you shout, then you shall shout." I've been around enough gatherings of people to know that was really hard. The children had to be quiet. The parents had to be quiet. Not one word was to come from their mouth till the command to shout was given. How long was it going to take to encompass the city of Jericho 7 times? Well, what I read after folks estimate somewhere between an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Let's be really conservative and say 20 minutes to go around 7 times. Okay? 20 minutes. How hard is it for you to be totally quiet for 20 minutes? While in the midst of extended family. Yeah. It's tough. It's an obedience to an extreme you and I have probably never had to exercise or never been tested in. The jeering that must have taken place from the wall. How many stray arrows were fired from the walls? How many feared the sudden attack from the city if the gates were flung open as they just stood there? The method that God called for was not one of fighting. It was one of faith. And they obeyed God and left the rest to Him. It's what Jonah did in Nineveh. It's what Lot did in Sodom. It's what Joshua did in Jericho, and it's what we must do. We're to be patient when we think we're supposed to act now. Scripture says we're to go to the wayward brother when we think it's not going to do any good. We still have to go. That's the command. To be the greatest in the kingdom, we're to be the servant of all. We don't always understand, but we can obey and leave the rest to God. It worked for the Israelites on the seventh day, with God's utter destruction was evident. Can you imagine the faith and confidence the nation had at that moment when the walls came down because they shouted? God's plan has always been to destroy the wicked. That's what he does in Jericho. He proves through the methods of faith described in this chapter that he was the one who would bring this destruction upon the city. Again, in Joshua 6 and in verse 26, it says, Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son, he shall set up its gates. Jericho had been a very important city for hundreds of years. Most of the archaeological remains of early Palestine are from a mound thought to be the Jericho we read of in the Bible. Many levels of rebuilding can be found on this site. But in this instance, no one attempted to rebuild this city for 450 years, twice as long as our country. That was the fear of the curse. The fear of God who had destroyed this city. But after 450 years, there was one man who did not fear God's curse. In 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34, it says, in his days, Hiel the Bethlehemite built Jericho. He laid its foundations with the loss of Abiram, his stepborn, or his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Joshua the son of Nun. Can you see in this story how God destroyed the wicked in the city of Jericho? All the inhabitants were killed except for Rahab and those in her house. No trace of this idolatrous lifestyle or their abominations remain. Generations did not rise up in this location. God wiped them out. In chapter 7 of Joshua, Achan is revealed to have stolen some items of loot from the city, which God said were under the ban and they were not to take. And they are destroyed for their wickedness, Achan and all of his household. God destroys the wicked. And that's always been God's attitude. We know that God is slow to anger and long-suffering in his salvation, and we're thankful for that blessing. He delays Christ's coming that we might have time to repent of our sin and to turn to him. But when the delay is abused and the postponement of doom only awakes presumption in us, at last the stroke comes from God. Suddenly and without remedy, God destroys the wicked. Remember that the flood was foretold in advance, and it came suddenly. So was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It came suddenly on the wickedness of the city. God's attitude has always been to destroy the wicked. And God has not changed. He will utterly destroy the wicked of today as well. We cannot hide from God. We cannot run from his destruction. We cannot avoid it. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, was Jesus' prayer. And his will is done in heaven. Even if men don't do his will on earth. And he will bring repercussions upon those who do not obey him. Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death. If we refuse to obey God, spiritual death is what awaits us in eternity. A destruction that will never end. A fire that will not consume us. So we need to be smart. And we need to seek the Lord while He may yet be found. If you are living a life that is away from God and without the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, I urge you to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But we must not delay. Or just like Jericho, the Lord's swift judgment will come upon us. I urge you to come to God while He gives us time. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10, it says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? When our walls of stubbornness are brought down and we obey the gospel and become a Christian, we are to never again rebuild those walls. The hold of the world has to be never given that opportunity to lay hold of us again. If you're struggling against the Lord and against His commands, I urge you to stop struggling. Give up our own will. Dedicate ourselves to Him. If you believe the things God expects of you are difficult, I would again remind you that with God all things are possible. We must keep God on our side. And if I could say that better, I would say, I have to stay on God's side. Because that's where victory is always at. Make the corrections needed in your life that will cause those walls of separation to be broken down, that you might be in fellowship with God. If you need to respond to His invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing.